All right. Thank you, choir, for that beautiful song, All Because of God's Amazing Grace. That's the only reason any of us are able to be here, because of His grace. If you take your Bibles this morning, we will continue our series in the book of James, chapter 2 this morning, beginning with verse 21. We're going to be looking at two individuals that God used in a mighty, mighty way. Not only can you read about it here, but you can go to Genesis chapter 15 and Genesis 22. I encourage you to read Genesis chapter 15. There's only 21 verses in chapter 15, and there's only 24 verses in chapter 22. And then I also encourage you to read Romans chapter 4, because Romans chapter 4 is dedicated. The whole chapter, I believe there's 25 verses in Romans chapter 4, to Abraham and his faith and his righteousness and so forth. And when you look in Genesis chapter 15, it talks about that Abraham was promised a son. Of course, we know that's Isaac, Abraham, and Sarah. And in chapter 22, he offers Isaac up as an offering at the altar of God's, but God provided for, instead of Isaac, he provided a lamb. So it talks about the faith, and it, when I read that, it helps me with my own faith, knowing that, you know, sometimes we give up things for the Lord, but He provides something else in the place of it sometimes that proves and tests our faith and where we really are with Him, and our faith proves our works and vice versa. So, begin with verse 21. We look at what faith and works does. In verse 21, James chapter 2, James says, "Was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar?" And that's Genesis chapter 22 as well. In verse 22, you see that faith was working with his works. There it is. And as a result of the works, faith was perfected. And the scripture was fulfilled, saying, "And Abraham believed God, and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, and he was called a friend of God." I like that, don't you? Because of his righteousness, he was considered a friend of God. When God looks at our lives like that, and we are faithful like that, we are friends of God as well. In verse 24, "Now, you see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone. In the same way was not Rahab, the harlot, who justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way." That was God's intervention right there. In verse 26, "For just as a body without the spirit is dead, so also faith without works is dead." Now, when you're looking at what this scripture is referring to and as we interpret what James is saying, so biblical truths demand demonstration in daily life. That means we live it out as we read it and as it is revealed to us, the scripture itself. Just like Abraham and Rahab, they lived out the scriptures. They believed by faith, and they put their faith into practice, which is called good deeds, good works. And Abraham was known for his righteousness, and that is because of his obedience to God. So when you look at it that way, as James is telling us here, real faith And I say dynamic faith results in a changed life. And every one of our lives have been changed in some way. When the closer we walk with God, the more we are in the Word of God, the more our lives are going to be changed. So if we're not in the Word of God, if we're not walking with God, our lives are not going to be changed for the good. It will be changed in a way that it will not produce spiritual growth in our life. So, James used Abraham and Rahab as an example of what I would call dynamic faith. And not only dynamic faith, but it's a saving faith. And that's what James uses here, since both of them responded in faith to the message of God. It was presented to them, and they accepted it. So therefore, real faith involves the whole person, just not part of us, but the whole person, our soul, the intertwined. The Bible says that our body is a temple of God. So he uses our whole being in the process of saving us and using us for his honor and glory. So the mind understands truth, our mind. And that's why God has given us a brilliant mind. We probably only use 10% of it, of what he has given us. How wonderful it would be if we use 50% of it, or even more. But the theory is that man only used 10% of what he has been given up here. Now, the heart loves the truth, and the will must act on the truth, for it's only a truly faith. Now, faith works. It really does. So true faith leads to action. So we have faith, true faith. We're going to apply it, as James chapter 1, verse 25 says, that we're going to actually put our faith into action. And that's the way we will be blessed. And this obedience is not, it's just not something isolated. It's not an isolated event. It continues throughout our life and brings about good works. And where there is real faith, saving faith, there will always be good works that follow. James and Paul are very clear on this. And the more we read about it, the more we will understand it. So, James here is illustrating genuine faith through the lives of two well-known persons, Abraham, Rahab. So you can find two, you couldn't find two more different people in the Bible. You couldn't. Why? Because Abraham, he was a Jew. Rahab was what? A Gentile. She was a Gentile. And Abraham was a godly man, but Rahab was a sinful woman. And James said she was a harlot. And the Bible in Genesis also does. So Abraham was, the Bible says, a friend of God, while Rahab belonged to the enemies of God. But you see how God began to work in her life. And she had believing or saving faith that turned into good works. So she helped the ones who came to be freed. And when God led Moses and all of those into the land that was going to be called the milk of honey. Milk and honey. So what did they have in common here? Both exercise saving faith from God, for faith that is not exercised in the real world is not real faith. So let's look at this morning. The obedience of Abraham's faith. What did it result in? So James tells us here in verses 21 through 24. And verse 21 calls to mind the event where Abraham was asked to act in great faith upon God's word to him. And in verse 21, it tells us, was not Abraham our father justified by works when he offered up Isaac his son on the altar? What a traumatic event that would have been. But you know, Abraham, I'm sure that he, as he was walking and praying and walking towards that altar, asking God, you know, God, I believe in you. And I know you can provide a atonement. And he was worshiping God, and yet his son, Isaac, was questioning, Dad, where's the sacrifice? Where is it? And Abraham said, what? God will provide. But yet he was going to offer up Isaac himself. And it was noted that Abraham, our father of generations, as the Bible says, offered up his son. But God provided another atonement. So the background of this illustration comes from, as I said, Genesis 15, chapter 15 and 22, which you need to read. I want you to read. I would encourage you to read. For emphasis, James reverses the order of events and places a confirmation on deeds here in verse 21, and before faith in verse 23 here in James chapter 2. So God called Abraham out of Ur of Chaldee to lead him into Canaan and to make out of him a nation of Israel. That's what he did. Called him out and said, go. You know, forsake everything else. You just go. And when you get there, I'll let you know. Now, that takes real faith, doesn't it? Does somebody say, would come up to you and say, hey, I want you to just get in your car and just drive. And when you get there, you'll know where you need to be. Now, we would think, well, that don't make any sense. That don't make any sense at all. And we would think that. It's natural for us to think that. But when it came to God speaking to Abraham in a sense that it took faith for Abraham to say, God, you know, you just point me in the direction you want me to go, and I'll just go, and when I get there, you tell me this is it. And that's what he did. That is real faith. And it's through Israel that God would bring the Savior into the world. Abraham's salvation experience is recorded in Genesis 15. So at night, God showed his servant the stars and gave him a promise. And this promise was, says, so shall your descendants be. Since you were faithful, you're going to have descendants, generations to come. And how did Abraham respond? What would have been our response when God said, so shall your descendants be? And Abraham, his response was, and he believed in the Lord, and he, the Lord, counted it him for righteousness. And when you look at certain scriptures and how it's laid out in certain words, when you look at that word counted, it's a legal, it's a financial term that means to put to one's account. And so Abraham, what God put into Abraham's account, that he was righteous. Like I said, it's a legal and a financial term. But in this sense, it all comes down to Abraham's righteousness. So Abraham trusted God, and God put righteousness in his account. So Abraham, he didn't work for his righteousness. He received it as a gift from God. Just like other gifts. Gift of salvation. Even in Psalms, the Bible says children are a gift of God. We have many gifts, and all the good gifts always come from God. So in verse 22, states two facts about Abraham's faith. You see that faith was working with his works as a result of the works. Faith was perfected. When you read in Matthew chapter 25, verse 48, the Bible says that as Jesus was talking to the multitudes and his disciples, trying to, and this was in the Sermon on the Mount, trying to get them to think along the kingdom of God and how he wanted to enrich their lives in the fullness of the abundance of God's love and perfect them for in their walk with the Lord. And getting them to look and see how God used and worked through their lives, Jesus said, "Be ye perfect as I am perfect." In line with what James is saying here about Abraham, that he was known, that his faith as his righteousness, he lived that out and was faithful and obedient to God. It was perfected in his life. So that's what we are to do. We are to be perfect and complete in our walk with the Lord Jesus Christ. So he was justified by faith, and his faith is demonstrated by his works. And that's why I say today, there's only 25 verses in Romans chapter 4. Read that and you'll understand what Paul is saying about Abraham as well, about his faith and his works and what he was willing to sacrifice. Now, verse 22 states two facts about Abraham's faith again. And as I shared that with you, understand that it takes faith each day of our life to understand that faith, what works follows our faith. So the end result of faith is works which matures our faith. Now, a tree is to produce fruit. No matter what kind of fruit it is, if it's an apple or peach or pear or plums or whatever, trees are produced fruit, just like our lives are produced fruit. And the reason for the tree exists is to accomplish such things, to bear fruit. So faith also produces works, which also outworking of love, loving faith, and maturing of our faith. So the works were the exercising of faith, and the results of works was perfecting of faith for Abraham. Now looking in verse 23, which summarizes Abraham's salvation event. As it says, "And the scripture was fulfilled." Many times you look through the Bible and you see where Jesus said, "And the scriptures," and this is to fulfill the scripture. And here James is saying the scriptures was fulfilled, which says Abraham believed God and it was reckoned to him as righteousness, as he was called the friend of God. So in the closing phrase of verse 23 right here, Abraham is noted for being a friend of God. And the title comes from 2 Chronicles chapter 20 and also Isaiah chapter 41, which one of the chapters I love because it has Isaiah 40:31, where God says, "Those who wait upon the Lord will mount up like wings of eagle." So the meaning of the expression seems to be that as a result of faithful obedience, this was concerning Isaac. Abraham was brought into an even closer relationship with God. Now, going in verse 24, it presents a conclusion about Abraham before we get to Rahab, where it says, "You see that a man is justified by works and not by faith alone." Now, let's see what James says about Rahab, the experience of Rahab. In verses 25, not much said about two verses, but enough is said about Rahab to see that God had a plan for her life. See, she was a harlot. She was a prostitute in that time. And yet, God looked down upon Rahab and saw something good in her heart. He sees good in every one of our hearts. And when he looks into our lives and he examines our life, and hoping that we will yield and surrender our life, he changes our life. Our life will be changed. And this section turns into an example of good works from the life of Rahab. Her story is especially powerful, for she was not a heroic person like Abraham. See, we look at him and say he was our hero. Which, look at her, she wasn't such a heroic person. But God still used her life. Because in verse 25, it says, in the same way, you see, yes, here we have Abraham. Now James says, in the same way was not Rahab the harlot also justified by works when she received the messengers and sent them out by another way to protect? That was God's ordained appointment. God used her mightily, and she fulfilled God's promises just as he did with Abraham. So right here, as you read in this text, and it's right before our eyes, James deliberately uses great conceivable contrast in persons' lives. Here's Abraham. Here is Rahab. See, God can take the worst sinner in the world and change them into something usable for his honor and glory. And it's a demonstration of how the Holy Spirit can work in and through every one of our lives, showing us what God can do. And in verse 26, it sums up the entire discussion of what James is saying here, where James says here in verse 26, for just as a body without the Spirit, and we know there's no life in our body if we don't have the Spirit, is dead, so also faith without works is dead. So we don't want to have a faith that's dead, do we? Because we want works as a part of that that shows us our relationship with the Lord. So the relationship between faith and works is like that between the body and the Spirit. Without the Spirit, the Bible says the body is dead. Without works, faith is dead. Such a body or experience being no glory to God, which our life would bring no glory to God. We have no honor to give to God. So, in conclusion this morning, in this final verses of chapter 2, James pointed out that the faith that works by actions, and by these actions, the integrity of our faith and the integrity of Abraham's faith was proved. Abraham works cooperated with his faith. And he was not saved by faith plus works. He was saved by living faith that worked its way through his life. So each step of obedience of Abraham, of his life for 175 years, what did it do? It strengthened his faith. So if you live to be 100 years old and your faith measures up to what James is talking about here in relationship with works, it will increase your faith. It will strengthen your faith, just like Abraham, which lived 175 years, and he was known for his righteousness. He never gave up. So, to me, it's important that each professing Christian examine our own hearts. And it's required of us, our life, or our deeds, to make certain that we possess the true living faith that James is talking about here. And I want to close with this verse in Psalms 139, verses 23 and 24, where the psalmist tells us to do what? Search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Well, he does, doesn't he? I mean, psalmist is just being honest with himself. Lord, I know you, me. I know you know me inside and out. But I still encouraging you. I'm inviting you. I welcome you to search me, O Lord, and know my heart. Try me and know my anxieties. So anybody come in here with any anxieties today? Any worries? Any hardships? Or some sorts of things that goes on in our life. And we need to pray when it comes down to that, like the psalmist here. And in verse 24, it says, and see if there's anything in my life that needs to be removed. And Psalmist says, see if there's anything wicked, any wicked way in me, and lead me into the way of everlasting. Let it continue through my life. Whatever you find, may I be willing to surrender it or give it up, so I can live out my life in true faith, and my works will prove it. Well, James makes it very clear here this morning how that we are to live our faith, and our works will prove our faith and our righteousness, and how that can be all work out and be perfected in our life. Nothing better than just having our mind and our hearts all clear, understanding that we're doing everything within our life to walk in the righteousness of the Lord. And we might not be conscious of that all the time, but if we will get up in the mornings and just think about that, Lord, how can I walk with you today? How can I keep all the distractions and the temptations out of my mind today? Well, if we think on the goodness of the Lord and think about our faith, and we want it to grow, and we want to see the good deeds be shown in our daily walk with the Lord, it's not all that hard. What makes it hard is if we don't give an account of those things that we need to do for the Lord. That's what makes it hard, because we're not conscious of those things. I encourage you to read again Genesis 15, 22, chapter 22 as well, and Romans 4, and see and compare those chapters and verses, and see how it compares with your life. There's a simulation there, just the same as it was for Abraham and Rahab. He said, in the same way. In the same way. See, our lives are similar. We're different in some ways, but our lives are still similar when it comes to our faith and our walk in the Lord Jesus Christ. Let us pray. Our Father, we thank you this morning for your saving grace. We thank you, Lord, that it's just not the saving grace and that it just stops there. But our faith is proved by how we conduct ourselves, the things that we put in action that we learn from your word. Because it's important that we do practice what we believe, that we practice the things that we learn from your word. And we can learn from one another. We surround ourselves with godly people and listen to one another, how God is working. And as we share with one another, Lord, it's an encouraging. And when we read your scripture, as James tells us here in chapter 2, helps us better understand that they were people mightily used by you. Lord, thank you that your Holy Spirit is always active, working, calling, knocking on our heart's door, getting us to realize that we need to continue to keep our eyes focused on you and in your word, and pray daily that we make room for you. You shut out everything else that's not good, but invite all that's good that come from you and live it out and be filled abundantly with your love. Lord, thank you this morning for your invitation that we're going to be singing. May we respond openly and freely by your Holy Spirit. In Christ's name I pray. Amen.